بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. We stopped at the chapter باب حكم الدين. In the zakat, rulings on zakat of debt. Here, يقول رحمه الله من كان له دين على مليء أو مال يمكن خلاصه كالمجحود الذي له بينة والمغصوب الذي يتمكن من أخذه فعليه زكاته إذا قبضه لما مضى. He said, whoever is owed a debt by a debtor who is capable of paying, or has money he is capable of collecting. As when someone denies having borrowed it, but he has a proof or has had something taken by force from him, yet he is capable of taking it back, he must pay zakat for it. When he finally takes possession of it, he should do so for all the years that have passed. Here, rahimahullah, he talks about the dayn. And the dayn, as you would see, is into two types. Dayn ala mali'. Dayn, you gave it to a mali'. Mali' means يعني a person who can pay you back. Or a dayn muta'adhir, يعني you gave it to someone who's bankrupt. You gave the money and the person gone bankrupt. We'll talk about that later. Ala mali, you lend someone money. If he's mali, meaning he can pay back, this money liable for zakat. صح؟ يعني you gave Abdullah zakat, you gave Abdullah $10,000. Now that $10,000, you need to pay zakat on it. What happens? When the hawl comes, you pay on it zakat. Why? Because that money, why mali? As if it is in your pocket. Because anytime you ask for it, you can get that money back. That is zakat on who? On mali. Person who has money. You can take it back from it. طيب. Now, what about if you lent him the money for 3 or 4 years? And he paid you after 3-4 years. Here he said, you can pay the zakat, all of it, at once for the 4 years. يعني $10,000 times the zakat on $10,000 is $250. You time it by 4 is what? $1,000 zakat. You can pay it when you get the money back. Because you think you might not get the money back, even though at that time the person has the money. But you say, who knows after 4 years what happens? And you can delay it. Or you can pay it from your money. Or you can order the person to pay it off the money. If he has the money. Like, but that will be subtracted from the total amount. Otherwise it will become riba. You understand? If he was to pay the zakat for the year, $250 on $10,000 and not subtracted from the total amount, then this is riba. So, and the principle about riba, كُلُّ قَرْضٍ جَرَّ نَفْعًا فَهُوَ riba. Every loan that brings out a benefit, it is, that benefit is riba. Is riba. You see, here, أَوْ مَالٌ يُمْكِنُ خَلَاصَهُ. Or money that you can free up and take back. Like for example, يعني money you can collect it. For example, كالمجحود. المجحود, which is wealth, it is denied. يعني you gave Abdullah $10,000 and Abdullah said, no, you gave me nothing. But you have a bayina. You have a paper where he signed it, there are two witnesses on it. So this money, you will get it. Even he said, no, you didn't. You cannot say Abdullah is similar to the bankrupt because he's denying. No. This money still exist. This money still exists because you have the bayina, and if you go to court, you get it guaranteed. You see? كالمجحول والمغصوب الذي يتمكن من أخذه. Or you can say والمغصوب الذي يتمكن من أخذه or يتمكن من أخذه. It can be read both ways. المغصوب meaning some money taken by force, but you are able to take back. المغصوب is مغصوب. You would learn inshallah when we get there to the chapter of implementing the hudud and what constitutes stealing. Al-maqsud is stealing, but different types of stealing. What is a maqsud? Is to be taken by force. I put a gun into your head and take off you $10,000. This is what? Malun maqsud. But you can take it back. Right? Somebody, for example, you are a businessman, you have a car yard, and somebody took two cars off you and he never returned them by force. He came to your car yard and he said, pulled the gun, he said, I'm taking two cars. Now those cars there is a cat on because they're marked for sale. Now you are able to take it back. Say, okay, on Sunday, let's just say today is Monday, on Sunday all the boys are coming, I'm going to take the boys and we're going to return those cars. 100%. But the zakat is up on Tuesdays. He took the cars off you on Monday. You pay zakat on those two cars. Why? Because guarantee you will take your cars back. You have more boys than him. Your gang is bigger than his gang. Right? So you get your cars back guaranteed. Because you can get your cars back guaranteed, yeah, it's good by Islamian example. Because you can get your cars back guaranteed, what happens? They are liable for zakat. He said the zakat when you take it back. Also under that, the wealth that you sell with installments. What does it mean, the wealth that you sell it with installments? Ya Abdullah, you have kaya. Again, easy way. You sold cars. Those cars, you said, you pay me by installment for a whole year. Of course, now, what happens, it's all in interest. Sah, they get a company to pay and whatever. But we're just giving it a simple example so we can understand. It could be sometimes you have a big business when you finish the job for someone, building job, construction job, painter, and you have a big job which is worth $10,000, $15,000, and that is part of your money, and the man is paying you, it's a big project throughout the year, but you know by the end you're going to get $15,000 or $20,000. So, under that is what? He owes you, your customer, $15,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 worth of cars. Money for cars that you sold that is liable for zakat. I have a car yard. I don't deal with interest. I sell you the cars. Sell all my customers cars. You come, you tell me, okay, I want to buy this car. I said, this car is $20,000 a year. Say, all right? And you said, but you know I can't pay you straight away. I need 2 years to pay you. I say, fine. You pay me every month, let's just say, $1,000 until you finish. For 2 years. Let's just say the car is $24,000 to make easy calculation. Say, okay. And I have many customers like this. Now, you owe me, Yusuf, $24,000. Now, my zakat comes to pay. You already paid me $10,000. Sah? Tayyib, you still owe me money. Is that money before, under the zakat or not? What you owe me, yeah, Yusuf? Do I have to pay zakat on it? That money is mine. And you are in debt to me. Hence, you need to pay me that money. So there is zakat. The 24,000 or the 24,000. or whatever left from the $24,000, like $14,000, there is zakat on it. Same thing, a tradesman who's doing a job for a big building company, and the job is worth $50,000. Of course, no company in the world says this is your money. You get the lot, most of the amount is when the job is done. You have to, you sort by the paint. If you're a painter, for example, $50,000 job. What you get is some money to keep you going. Now, this $50,000, as soon as they sign the contract, they have to, you are liable to finish the job, and they are liable to pay you the $50,000. That $50,000 now, when you started and progressed with the job, it's yours. Sah? Especially if you finished the job, but they still pay you. Even if they paid you, they didn't pay you the full amount, and they paid you only $25,000, and they still, you finished the job, and they owe you $25,000, that fund $25,000 liable for zakat because it is yours. Same thing, the rent. But here in Australia, the rent is paid weekly or fortnightly. In the Muslim land, the rent is paid up front, it's paid yearly up front. But because a lot of people don't have the money to pay, they make it in installment. Not monthly, not weekly. It is per quarter, you pay such and such an amount. But that money, that rent, owed by who? By the landlord. He owes it. It is his money. And you are in debt to him because you signed a contract for 1 year. So that money, for the landlord, he has to pay zakat on it because it's his money, but you borrowed it off him. This is how. Okay? والمغصوب والضال المفقود الذي لا يرجى وجوده فلا زكاة فيه. He said, or someone has had something taken from him by force, or has lost something and there is no hope of finding it, then there is no zakat due on it. Listen. Here, what did he say? He said, here, rahmatullahi alayhi, said, وَإِنْ كَانَ مُتَعَدِّرًا, if the person is, you lend the money to a person, impossible to take your money back. خلاص. He disappeared. He took the money and ran away. He became bankrupt. He said there is no zakat in it. There is no zakat in it. Or ala jahidin la bayinata bihi. Ala jahid, you gave the money to someone, but you didn't get a proof. And he said, you owe me nothing. See you later, bro. Then there is no zakat on that. Wal maghsub, wal dal al maghsub, which taken by force, tayyib, and al-dal, which is lost, that you cannot find it or take it back, then there is no zakat in it. Why? Because you do not possess the money anymore. So, you do not possess the money anymore. And since you do not possess it and you have no control over it, there is no zakat on it and you're not liable to pay zakat. وَحُكْمُ الصَّدَاقِ حُكْمُ الدَّيْنِ. Sure. Now, under the next one, what we want to talk about, which is the superannuation. We'll talk about the sadaq, the dowry in a minute, but the superannuation, صح? Which is when the company or the government takes proportion of the money and saved for you and given, when you retire, does it fall under the first category or the second category? The superannuation is problematic. In a sense, the company takes money of your wages, 10%, 5%, 4%, and then they keep it and they will not give it to you until you reach a certain age or certain extreme disability that you cannot work or something. Now, this is no golden rule
or an umbrella ruling on everyone, because the laws are doing what? Changing. It used to be very strict. When they first introduced it, there is no way you can get your money back until you reach certain age. Sah. Now, a lot of ulama said there is no zakat on that. Why? Because the money you have no control over, and you don't know whether you're going to get it or not. You could die, or you could not use it, or you don't know what happens. Sah. Since it is not in your capability to take it and access it anytime you want, then there is no zakat on it. Now, the latest laws that I heard, that the superannuation, you can break the contract and take the money and invest them in real estate properties if you can show, or in any investment, secure investment to a certain, what they list, the government list, and they give you your superannuation. Who can tell me? So, as you see, as a superannuation, it's not one go. If you can access it, if the contract that is in, you can access it with certain condition, then it is money that you need to pay zakat on. If it is impossible to access the superannuation, then you do not pay zakat on. The funny thing is, they tell you, since we're talking about the superannuation, they tell you your capitalist system, but they still don't give you full control of your money. Who gives them the right? Since it's free to do what with your money what you like, who gives them the right to control your money and say you cannot access it? Still, there's no such a thing as free. Also, I believe it is one of the biggest lies of our century, the lie of superannuation. Why? Because no one can guarantee how long you're going to live. No one can guarantee what's going to happen in the future. And we've seen in some of the recessions, when it hit hard, some people, I know, they put throughout the years maybe 100 to 120,000, they got 40,000 back. Or 30,000 back. Because when the share market was on its bottom, this is when their super was released. Sah? And when the super was released, at that time, it's bad luck for them. Because they had to sell those shares so they can release them. And when they released them, they paid 120,000, but they got 40 or 50,000 dollars. So superannuation is one of the biggest lies of our time, subhanAllah. Now, also, the rental bond. This is another thing we forget. The rental bond. This is a money that is yours. So that's why it becomes part of the zakat. Part of the zakat. Now, what about money you have if you have a business that you need to pay for tax? We'll talk about it in the next. If you owe the government, or you owe the government taxes, what do you do with that money? Do you pay zakat on it or not if the year lapses? Some people have business and they pay by the end of the financial year. Now, all of that, they kept the money with them. What do you do with that money? Here he said, حُكْمُ الصَّدَاقِ حُكْمُ الدَّيْنِ. صح؟ حُكْمُ الصَّدَاقِ حُكْمُ الدَّيْنِ. Meaning, I know this is a lot in the Lebanese. You get confident and you say, I write for my wife $100,000. Now, if you have the $100,000 and you didn't give it to her, because you're not going to give her $100,000, especially if you're living, you're not going to give you $100,000 to your wife. So, it's a debt, and that is a zakatable debt. And you need to pay zakat for it. So, you need to pay zakat. So when you put a dowry, you are liable to pay zakat on that dowry. Unless she forgives you and the loan turns to nil, then you owe enough. That's where the zakat goes. But some, they say $50,000. Now he's a mali. He is a mali, meaning a person who has the money sitting in the bank. So he has the 50,000, but he's not going to go and give to her because he's using it business, he's using it this and that, and he says to himself, "Have an hour," and he wants ink on paper. Who cares? Comes on the day of judgment, 10 years, 15 years. She never paid zakat on that dowry. She's liable to pay zakat. Why? It's not his fault, it's her fault. She, because it's her money that she'd never asked for. And he has the money to give, it's a debt. She didn't pay zakat because it's her money. She is questioned about that money. Did you pay zakat? But Ya Rabbi never gave it to me. Yeah, but it's your money. So you need to ask for it. And the fact you didn't ask for it, you either forgive him, and then you have to state that you have forgiven him, or you didn't. And if you didn't, then you need to pay zakat on it. Because it's a debt. She goes to Jahannam without sheets? No. Because she never paid zakat on the dowry. No. What about if he gives her her dowry, then she pays zakat for every year past? Yani in 5 years he gave her dowry, then she pays zakat. See here, ya ikhwah, the ulama do not imagine someone never paying the dowry. The dowry need to be paid. That's why the best thing is to make the smallest dowry as possible so it can be paid and it doesn't become problematic between them and become like a debt. Here he said, وَمَنْ كَانَ عَلَيْهِ دَيْنٌ يَسْتَغْلِقُ الْإِصَابَ الَّذِي مَعَهُ أَوْ يُنْقِصُهُ فَلَا زَكَاتَ فِيهِ. He said here, listen, whoever has a debt equal to greater than the nisab he owns, or the debt may exceed the money he owes less than the nisab, there is no zakat. The money he possesses. Right. He said the dalil for this. What does it mean first? If you have a debt, you have, let's just say, $10,000, but you owe someone $20,000. So, do you pay zakat on that $10,000? Uthman radiallahu anhu said in this khabar collected by Imam Malik and others, he said, "Inna hadha shahra zakatikum." This month is the month of your zakat. فَمَنْ كَانَ عَلَيْهِ دَيْنٌ فَلْيَقْضِي. Whomever has a loan, has a debt, lazim, let him pay it. وَزَكُّوا بَقِيَّةَ أَمْوَالِكُمْ. And then pay zakat on your rest. What does it mean? It means, ya ikhwah, that if you have money, $10,000 cash, and you owe someone $20,000, then what do? You take that $10,000 and you pay it to the one you owe him the money. And whatever left over, which is nothing, you pay zakat on it. Sah. What does it mean? It means also, if you have a debt, you owe someone $20,000 and you have $10,000 in your pocket. The time of zakat comes and you did not pay back to the person that 10,000 out of 20,000. Then you have to pay zakat on the money. You can't keep the money and say, I have debt, I don't pay. No, you kept the money, then you pay zakat on it. You paid it to the debt, khalas, is no zakat. And that's why Uthman radiallahu anhu used to say to the people, this is the month of the zakat. Pay your zakat. Pay your zakat. Pay your debt. And whatever left over, pay zakat on. But if you don't pay your debt, let's just say a debt of 5 years or 10 years. So let's say a debt on a car for 5 years. And you have the money. And you say, look, I don't want to give them the money. I'm using it. They're happy for 5 years. I'm paying slowly, no problem. I'd rather use this money in a business or something. I'm keeping it. I'm saving it. Who cares? They're happy to wait 5 years and I have the money. Then that money you need to pay zakat on it. You cannot say because I have a debt, I don't have to pay zakat. No, you have to pay zakat on that money unless you take that money and you pay for the debt. Here he said, Babu zakati al-urud. Zakat of merchandise. Of course, merchandise apart from cash. Sah? Apart from cash, merchandise. ولا زكاة فيها حتى ينوي بها صاحبها التجارة. Let me read to you before I Before I go into the matter, what Ibn Qudama, let me share some introduction. What is urud al-tijar? What is merchandise marked for sale? What is zakat? Anything that is marked for sale, you have to pay zakat on it. Whether it is land, houses, farms, animals that you want to sell. Not grazing animals, no, animal you want to sell. You buy 10,000 sheep and you sell them next day, next week, next month. Or you have it because you want to sell it. You're keeping it until the season comes so you can sell it. You're not a person who is using it for grazing and to increase it in number through multiplication, صح? Through birth and through breeding. You're not breeding them and increasing their number. What you're doing with them is you're buying them and selling them, or you're not keeping them there to shear them. That is goes with the sa'i. We're talking about keeping it. Same thing, horses. We said, is there zakat on horses? No. Is there zakat on cars? If you have 2-3 cars at home, one for you, two for you, one for your wife, one for your son. Is there zakat on that? No. There is no zakat on any of that. So, once you mark it for sale, meaning not to sell it, and to put it on in a newspaper to sell it so you can buy another one, no. Marked for sale means you become a car dealer or horse dealer. Horses dealer, you buy and sell horses, so then you need to pay zakat on them. So not breeding, if you're breeding horses, then there is no zakat. But if you're buying and selling horses, you buy them for cheap price, you train them and then you sell them, then that money is here. Okay. Also wood, iron, cement, all of that, it is for zakat. Also greengrocer, the vegetables and the fruit in the shop, all to be counted in the zakat. Spare parts, clothing shops, furniture, perfume, honey, cars, all of that is to pay zakat. Also nursery, you know, the flower nurseries and tree nurseries, like the shops of Flower Power and everything, you say, those flowers on the ground, I need to pay zakat on it? Come on. Yes, you need to pay zakat on all of this. So, clothing shop, books shops, everything. You need to pay zakat on it. How do you calculate it? When the year comes, what you do like a stock take. Always you have like a point stock. Anything that is not marked for sale, you don't pay zakat. Like, for example, let's just say you have a convenience store. Inside the convenience store, you have scale. You have the teller machine, the desk. You have the shelves, air conditioning if you own it, the fridges. All of that, there is no zakat on it. What there is zakat on is whatever marked for sale. Butcher, you have the saws, the expensive knives, the fridges, the cool rooms, all of that, there is no zakat on it. The zakat is on the meat that is marked for sale. A tradesman, some of the tradesmen, they have tools worth millions of dollars. Big bobcats and big machinery and tools and so on. All of that and none of that has zakat on it. The zakat on whatever is marked for sale. Let's just take an example so we can make it easy on ourselves. Let's just say you have a factory, you make caravans. Right? Then what you do, you buy taps, sinks, metal, furniture, so to furnish inside, electricity cable, lights, tires, all of those you have as stock, which you turn into the finishing product,
a caravan, a car, whatever, trailer,
that stock there is zakat on it.
That stock there is zakat on it. But the tools in the machinery that helps you to turn it like that, there is no zakat on it. Just about that stock, because this stock is really it's marked for sale. Sah, you're not selling it as it is, but what you are doing, you are fabricating it, changing it to become an end product. That's why there is zakat on it. Okay? So, how is it done? Let's just say Abdullah owns a business similar to that business, caravan, or a factory that makes trailers. He has in his own name $100,000 cash in the bank. He has his own investments. Gold, he bought gold, sabaik, gold ounces, worth 100,000. So he has $200,000. And he has his factory, where he has on the ground $1 million of products to be turned into trailers or caravans. And he has finished the product that is marked for sale worth $500,000. How does he do his zakat? It come to a point which is the point stop, the 0 point before next year starts. The next Islamic financial year starts. Comes, let's just say he marks it first of Sha'ban. I don't like to say first of Ramadan because everyone paid the zakat of Ramadan. The poor in the Ummah only eat in Ramadan, the rest of you they don't eat. No, your zakat could be any time of the year. But let's just say first of Sha'ban, first day of Sha'ban. First day of Sha'ban to Abdullah is point zero where he need to make the stock take. Now he gets an estimate. This product in the ground, how much it is worth? $1 million. The product that is for sale, we said how much was it? 500,000. Is it? We said? It cost him how much? 300,000. There is a mark of profit, $200,000. He counts it as 500,000, not 300,000. Let's just say he puts 10%, he leaves it for negotiation. Just say he's happy to get minus 10% for 450,000. Right? So that 10% is risky. Because if someone comes and says, how about 450? He says, okay, take it. Then he counted for 450. He goes to how much he has cash in the bank. So $1,600,000. Okay? The gold reached the threshold. Of course, how much it is worth? 100,000. There's 2.5% of that. He can add it. And 2.5% on $1,700,000. Sah? Alright? This is how it is kept. Or he can say, because gold is a separate commodity, $1,600,000 cash, and the gold, 100,000, 2.5%, will be the same anyway by the end of the day, because he's going to estimate it cash, because he's not going to give a sabika, he's going to get cash. Sah? He's going to give cash. He's not going to give an ounce, literally ounce as a cat is going to give it as cash. He calculated towards the end, $1,700,000, 2.5% out of that he pays the zakat. Understood how it works when it comes to zakat. Now, let's talk about it in a different way also. Let's just say a business is a little bit more complex, where you have a product coming from China, you bought, it hasn't been delivered to you yet, customers owe you money, and you have a stock on the ground, and a stock getting fabricated, and it's getting made. But what do you do here? Simple, very simple. People owe you money, then it's part of the zakat. If they're money, part of the zakat. Stock that is coming from China, it's a stock of them. You say, my stock. So it is zakatable. But it's not here. You say it is zakatable. You bought it. It's a matter of time before it comes. Sah? Stop getting make that is to pay zakat. So you calculate everything and then you pay the zakat for it. You pay the zakat for it. Now let's just say another business like an accountant. You are an accountant. Money coming in and out all the time, in and out all the time, in and out all the time. What happens? Let's just say you want to do the stock take. Of course, an accountant, all the computers, the desk, everything, because it's an intellectual property. It is not tangible cash property. But he has money. Money coming in and going out. If that money in and out, in it, there is a percentage for him, the profit. So, then we say when it comes to that point, you need to pay the debt for the debtors. And then you pay the zakat on your profit. If I want to say, hang on, this is too complicated. Take an example, that taxation office owes me money. And I owe this money to the people. So I am in and out. It's not going to remain with me. We say this is never even met the hawl, the yearly lapse. So it's going to come and go off. It's not your matter. As for the money you owe taxation office, let's just say you're a person who is making zakat for the whole year. There comes, you know, for example, like GST. You know you have like $20,000 worth of GST with you, sitting with you. Sah? And it's like 4 months or 3 months to pay the taxation office that money. Right? Then we say, even in Australia, you can pay the GST before the end of the financial year. There is no problem. You need to pay it because that money, even though it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to the government, but you kept it with you, so it is zakatable money. When the time of zakat came, and with you, it is zakatable money because the whole year has passed. That's why you get rid of it as soon as you come. And in Australia here we have, when you do pay as you go in GST, it's quarterly. So you already got rid of it. You're supposed to have got rid of it. Some people like to keep it back so they can use it in the business. Invest it and get it back quickly. Then as you see that it is a money that he is using, you haven't paid it back. You need to pay it back so you can get rid of it so the zakat doesn't come and chew it off. Right? So you can pay. Now, let's just give an example where it could be you're not allowed to pay it, but it's not yours until they tell you to pay it. You understand? I don't know if that example exists. But for example, if you have tax and you want to pay it, they say, no, you cannot pay it until the financial year is over. You can't pay it now. It doesn't work in Australia, because in Australia it's all pay as you go. So, then you want to pay it and they say, no, we don't want it. That money, there is no zakat on it because you are forced to keep it. So, you are forced to keep it. No? You understand? It's exactly like if you owe Abdullah money. And then you have this money, but you went to, before you pay the zakat, yani before the zakat time, June 1st of Sha'ban, you're looking for Abdullah. Abdullah took a holiday 3 years and he's never coming back. And the money is with you. And you want to give it. You want to take it out of your pocket and give it. Then you don't have to pay zakat on that money. Why? Because you can't find the person. It's his responsibility now. It's not your responsibility. You looked for him, you couldn't find him, so you can get it out of your pocket. But he's not there. So you are now not a debtor, you are a keeper of that money. And that changes. It changes to wadi'a. We'll talk about it in a financial transaction. What is a wadi'a? A wadi'a, that is money. Money kept with you. A safekeeping. Someone traveling says, Yusuf, I have this $10,000 and I want to leave him at home so I don't get stolen. Can you keep him with you? That's called wadi'a. Wadi'a, you're not responsible for the zakat. He is responsible. So you're looking for him and you can't find him because you want to pay him so you don't become liable to the zakat. You can't find him. You can let two people know in case something happens. You say, listen, I'm looking for Abdullah. I don't want this $10,000 and I want to give it to him. What do I do? Say, okay, keep him until he comes. Then it turns to wadi'a, from debt to wadi'a. But since it is wadi'a, what happens? Once you intend to be a wadi'a, you separate it from your money, and you don't touch it anymore, even if you need it, even if you have the right by the original contract. By the original contract, you borrowed off Abdullah $10,000. Abdullah, what did he say? He says to you, you can use it طيب, for 3 years. أنت within 6 months, you don't need the money anymore. You want to give it back? He took a holiday, said, خلاص, I'm growing, and I don't have time. You know, I'm growing, I'm not going to get my money till after 3 years. I don't care, I've got a lot of money, I don't need them now. You looked for Abdullah, you couldn't get in contact with him at all. What do you do with this money? Then, that money, you get two witnesses that I want to pay him, but I can't find him. Then the money turns from a debt to a di'a. That's why you don't pay zakat. But, on the other hand, you have annulled the previous contract, the debt contract. And you entered into a new contract, it's called wadi'a. وَلَا زَكَاةَ فِيهَا حَتَّى يَنْوِيَ التِّجَارَةَ بِهَا التِّجَارَةَ وَهِيَ نِصَابُ حَوْلًا. He said there is no zakat on merchandise until the person intends to trade with it and it has been at the nisab for an entire hawl, yani an entire year. So there is no zakat in all of what we mention until he intends tijar, صح? Until he intends to trade with it. Right? Also, he put a condition and a third one. He said, you have to intend that it is for trading, it has to have reached the nisab, and it has to be 1 year. Then there is zakat on it. Why? Because let's just say you are a merchant, you buy and sell horses. And you bought a horse and said, MashaAllah, yes, it's worth $500,000, but I'm keeping it. I like it. I'm not selling it to anyone. That now changed the intention for that horse, and that horse is not counted part of the zakat. So, same thing with cars. You buy and sell cars. One day you found a car, you buy a car in big numbers, and you import and export. And what happens once you bought a 67 Mustang, red from outside, white from inside, and it's just the number one. Yes. You saw a beautiful car, you said, no, this is always, I wanted to own one of those cars, and you end up keeping it. Then your intention to change, there is no zakat. Even 1 minute before the zakat comes, there is no zakat. Now don't play a trick, you're not tricking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know it's an expensive car, oh, I'm going to keep it, you keep it for 2 days, then you say, I'm going to mark it back for sale. That's a trick on Allah, and you can. Don't be like the Yahud, yeah? He said, هِيَ لَا زَكَاتَ فِيهَا. طيب, how much is the zakat on it? We said 2.5%. He said, ثُمَّ يُقَوِّمُهَا. And then, يُقَوِّمُهَا, يعني what he does, he evaluate it. Right? What at the time is it? فَإِذَا بَلَغَتْ أَقَلَّ نِصَابٍ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ أَوْ الْفِضَّ أَخْرَجَ الزَّكَاةَ مِنْ قِيمَتِهَا. Here he said, فَإِذَا بَلَغَتْ أَقَلَّ نِصَابٍ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ أَخْرَجَ الزَّكَاةَ مِنْ قِيمَتِهَا. He said, then he should assess it, and if it has reached an amount equal to whichever nisab of gold or silver, at that time he must pay the zakat on its full value. So you evaluate it, you see which nisab it reached, whether it's dhahab or fidda. You see if it is the fidda, then yani accordingly, because gold and silver can go up in price. Sah? Like, of course, now gold always is far more expensive than silver when you talk a nisab. What was the nisab of silver? 595. And gold? 85. Sometimes the 595 are a little bit more expensive than gold, and sometimes the gold is more expensive. But in today's age, gold is way expensive, and 95 grams are far more, 10 times more expensive than 595 of silver. That's why we go, أقل نصاب, we go to the silver. You see, you calculate the nisab and silver, you calculate it there, 2.5%, and you pay
رزق. طيب he said وإن كان عنده ذهب أو فضة ضمها إلى قيمة العروض في تكميل النصاب. Here again he says, and we explain this, he said, if the person also owns gold or silver, he must add it to the value of his merchandise that is prepared for trading to complete the nisab. طيب, as I explained to you that the value of the gold and silver, صح? Here he said, you come to the urud, you have for sale, and you have gold and silver. Let's just say the urud for tijara is not enough for a nisab. If you have gold and silver, then you add it and you bring them together to make a nisab. He said, of course, with this is with the consensus of the ulama, and many ulama have narrated this consensus. Here he gave an example. من كان عنده ذهب أو فضة فالصحيح أنه يضم أحدهما إلى الآخر في تكميل النصاب لأن الذهب والفضة غير مقصودين لذاتهما وإنهما إنما هما أثمان فيضمان إلى بعضهما قياسا على ضم أحدهما إلى عروض التجارة. He said, يعني we spoke about it previously that if it is gold and silver, the correct opinion that you can combine gold and silver one to each other, because gold and silver, they're not intended by themselves, they are intended for their value. So to combine them to, as you would combine urud al-tijara. What do you mean urud al-tijara? يعني if you have gold, if you have books for sale, let's just say store, you sell books, and you sell clothing, and you sell perfume, they're not different commodities, they're all one commodity. You all count them as one. Like take an example, Woolworths, that's one of those big mega supermarkets. It's got all different merchandise, everything. So how do you calculate the zakat? You say all of them. Yeah, do you calculate the banana with the clothing, with the books, with the pots and pans, with everything you calculate together. Everything you calculate together, because of that, the gold and silver are to be combined to complete an nisab. It's the same analogy. Also the same thing when you talk about shares. You could have shares, and I'll talk to you a little bit, a couple of minutes about shares. You could have shares in a company that makes cement, and have shares in a company that makes cars. You can't say this is all different merchandise and commodities. No, it is all to be calculated the same. Now, how do I pay zakat on shares? Since we're talking about this, the zakat is paid on shares by doing what? Shares are into two types. When you intend to buy the shares, you either intend for it and to keep it and the value of it increases and then you sell it, or you intend to buy the shares for what? When they give you the dividend. See? You buy it so you can get the dividend. 99% of the shares bought and sold for the value. Some people even, they do not know in what the company 100% does. All what they need is a good report about the company. He buys, he waits 3 months and he says, that is not allowed. You need to understand what the company does, because you become a share owner of that company. And since you are share owner, you are responsible of what they do. And that's why when you buy the shares, even if it is halal company, what's in it is halal, 90% of the people, what they buy the shares in an intention to wait for it to go up and sell it. Hardly anyone buys for the dividend. Now, if you buy it for that reason, then this is a merchandise or a tijara and goes with zakat 2.5%. If you buy it, like buying in a business, like 20 people bought a business, you are a share owner. You say, look, I'll give you my money, $10,000, but I'm not going to do any work. I don't have time for you. Buy, invest. Or you buy, use it in your business. Now, you're a share owner. Here, that $10,000 is what? When you're buying in a business, then you do not pay zakat on it. You pay zakat on the dividend when you take it. Now, what happens If it is, let's just say, a pharmaceutical company.
يعني a pharmaceutical company or a pharmacy.
A pharmacy worth $1 million.
Then there are four people investors. Each investor $250,000. Is this $250,000 all of it to buy shelves and counters to say there is no zakat on it? Or some of that money is used to buy products?
We say some of that money is used to buy products.
So how do we pay the zakat? It's going to be complex. Especially if you have 20 people or 30 people or more investing in a bigger business. How are you going to do it? Then here, the one who's liable, and this is, has to be mentioned also, to pay the zakat is the person who's running the business, the manager. The manager is responsible to do a stock take and pay zakat on the stock and then divide the payment on the shareholders. Each according to his share in a percentage. You one own 25% and one owns 5%. If the zakat is $10,000, the one who owns 25% is liable to $2,500 and the one who owns 5% is liable for $500. You see how it works? That's how it's supposed to be done. And this way, they don't have to pay zakat anymore on the share he owes in the business. Because he's after what? The dividend. He's intending what? A dividend. So, not like buying shares when you don't even care about the profits, how much going up. You're not into that. You're into wait for it a few months till it goes up so you can sell it and make quick profit on that. That is the value of the share. And the market, at the time you do your stock take, you add it to pay zakat 2.5% on it. And that's why he said, يعني in this. وَإِذَا نَوَى بِعُرُودِ التِّجَارَةِ الْقُنْيَةِ فَلَا زَكَاةَ فِيهَا. If he intends with عروض, if a person intends for this merchandise to be private property or personal use, there is no zakat on it. We explained that already. If you like a horse or you like a car and you kept it, then there is no zakat. ثم إن نوى بعد ذلك التجارة استأنف له حولا. Then, if afterwards he intends to prepare it again for trade, he should begin counting a new حول for it. So let's just say, you're a car dealer. You deal with cars. You bought a lot of cars, and one of the cars you like so much, it's worth $100,000. Of course, it's an expensive car, so they're going to keep it. You kept it for a few months, not intending to trick Allah, you intended fa'la, you like them. The wife, huh? You spoil your wife, she said, oh, dad, your husband, I love this one. So he said, all right, I'll keep it for you. Like, the wife, she liked the car and you kept it. Then after 3 months, the spoiled brat, she said, huh?
No, Abdullah, I don't like it anymore.
My friend, got better one. Then you, the spoiled brat, she said, I don't want the car, what do you do now? You take it back. Because it's $100,000, you intend what? A new habit. So, after 3 months, let's just say you gave her the car in January, in April, she gave it back, she doesn't want it, you start counting year for that car from April, because that's a new wealth. Or you add it in a general and you pay at the end, as we mentioned before. Now, there is one point I missed, which is, what is the proof for the zakat in urud al-tijara? There is... Here, the dalil on urud al-tijara, listen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Dhariyat verse 19, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. In their wealth, there is rights for the sa'il, the one who asks, and the one who is in need. The general meaning in this verse implies that the tijara, urud al-tijara, you're liable for zakat. Also, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent him to Yemen, he said, tell them that Allah obligated them with the sadaqah in their wealth, taken from the rich and given to the poor, and this is with ijma'. So the specific dalil, the general dalil are the ayah and the hadith to pay zakat. The specific dalil is what? Ijma', which is narrated by Ibn Abd al-Barr and in the book of Al-Ijma' for Ibn al-Munzir, and also Ibn Taymiyyah narrated, and many have narrated with the Ijma' on that. Many have narrated in the Ijma' in that, and this is the dalil for zakat. Inshallah, next week we'll speak about zakat al-fitr, zakat al-fitr, and who the zakat is to be paid for, the people who deserve the zakat. SubhanAllah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.